Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good things coming up for you. In just a little bit, we'll get into some entertainment news, including saying goodbye to Linda Lavin. That news breaking just shortly, if you have not heard. We will touch on that, along with box office numbers and plenty more. Melissa and I also get into collecting items that you don't have to collect anymore. That is also going to come up for you. We're going to save some people some time there. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to kick it off the way we like to with Beth Habegger, and the kitchen's open.
Tell me something good.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR for this Monday, December 30th. It's that time of year to say goodbye to the old and hello to the new as we prepare to welcome 2025.
We have to get rid of everything. I am not ready for this. There are expiration dates all over the place that I was not prepared for.
Now, hold on, James. She doesn't mean literally throw everything out. Do you, Beth?
No. In fact, some things are great to take with us into the new year. Things like, say, bacon.
Bacon! Bacon! Did somebody say bacon? You are speaking my language.
I know, James. Today is, in fact, National Bacon Day.
What?
Yep. It's National Bacon Day. Woohoo! NationalDayCalendar.com tells us the day reminds us that bacon is not just for breakfast and encourages us to test out for various ways to enjoy this culinary marvel.
Yes, I did not have bacon for breakfast this morning, so I'm glad it's not just for bacon or for breakfast or double cheeseburgers, James. There are a ton of other ways that you can enjoy this tasty tidbit.
But before we get into the many ways we can incorporate bacon into our cooking and baking, let's define exactly what bacon is and what it is we're discussing. The official definition of bacon is a side of pig cured and smoked. That's according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. The history of bacon can be better understood by exploring the history of the world itself, or the word itself. Bacon comes from the same Proto-Germanic linguistic roots as the English word back. The word bacon started being used in the English language at some point during the 12th century. At that time, bacon meant all types of pork. Throughout the next 100 years or so, its definition narrowed to include only the strips of salty cured meat we're familiar with today. This is according to an article called For the Love of Bacon, History, Facts, and More by Daniel Cirque on the website justcook.butcherbox.com.
I finally heard the one thing that I would add to bacon, just going back to calling it bacon. How could you make bacon sound even more delicious, calling it bacon?
Bacon,
oh,
yes.
That sounds so good.
It's interesting how the language has, you know, evolved like that, where bacon meant all types of pork, just like plum meant all types of fruit.
It really is fascinating. Yeah. History is just fascinating. The article goes on to state, humankind's love affair with bacon can be traced back to 1500 BCE, if not before. This is when the Chinese began to salt and cure pork belly. Like nearly all trends in the world, this salting and curing process traveled. It eventually gained popularity in other parts of the world, evolving as it was incorporated into different cultures.
Danielle goes on to share, the Greeks and Romans ate bacon, and as time progressed, this perfect pork product was enjoyed in England, France, Germany, and eventually the United States. Bacon traveled well and became a source of protein for the masses, due in part to the fact that its curing process meant no refrigeration was necessary. It reached the present-day United States in the mid-1500s when Hernando de Soto of Spain brought 13 domesticated pigs on his voyage to the North American continent. In 3 short years, the pig population jumped to nearly 700.
Whoa.
As we know, pigs can propagate quickly, and they turn wild quickly.
And as we know also, pigs can't fly. So we want to thank very much, at least I want to thank Hernando de Soto.
Yes.
Thank you, Hernando. Thank you. I think there's a lot to take from this great segment and everything. Please, let's not let that be lost on us. An immigrant came to this country and brought us bacon. Let's not lose sight of that, everybody. That is a beautiful thing. And where would human beings be without animals?
Exactly.
So, you know, whether it's such an interesting thing of how these things grow and how they come to a different part of the world, whether it's here in America or somewhere else, and you see the evolution of these things and how other cultures, hey, that's really cool. I'm just going to put my little spin on it here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to add a little bit to it here.
I don't know if salt-cured cricket would be going over as well as a breakfast food, compared to bacon.
No.
But over the centuries, curing and cuts have changed. Daniel shares, the bacon we're used to eating in the U.S. is quite different than the salt-cured pork belly that originated in China. The type of sliced packaged bacon most people have had in their fridge was patented in 1924 by none other than Oscar Mayer.
Wow.
Thank you, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. And according to the National Day Calendar website, quote, the United States and Canada make bacon from the pork belly. Other countries around the world use the side of the back cuts of pork. That meat is cured in either a salt brine or a salt pack, and it is either dried, boiled, or smoked.
But bacon isn't just pork anymore. Meat from other animals can also be used. Daniel says, it's true, bacon has branched out to include more than just pork. Today, there are many options for those seeking alternatives, including turkey bacon, lamb bacon, called macon, and soy bacon.
So is that bacon?
Soykin? Soykin or bacon?
Bacon?
Nicely about that.
So if it's turkey bacon, should that be taken?
Oh, yes. Oh.
I think it's called tofurkey.
Tofurkey. We actually use a lot of turkey bacon in our house because it's a little bit healthier. It doesn't have as much of the fat. So it's not as bad for your cholesterol. So it's
definitely doesn't taste the same.
It doesn't. But it still gives you that crisp and crunch that you want and that salty flavor.
Texture. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we use it a lot to substitute for bacon in different recipes and things like that. But there is nothing that compares to actual bacon. And if you're anything like my family, when all of us are together, meeting my sisters and their families, we go through at least 3 pounds of bacon in one sitting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that when Prince wrote "Nothing Compares to You," this is what he was talking about.
Well, if you actually go on to the National Day Calendar website, they have a map there that you can click on, and it will tell you the average price that each household in each state spends on bacon in a year.
Wow.
And it's amazing. None of it is under $50. According to that, every state households, the average is at least $50 for bacon per year.
Well, we saw everybody. You knew when the price rose on something because people were barking about it. Almost the very next day, if not the next hour. Not as much about bacon. Not as many people barking about. Like we all noticed the price went up, but not a lot of people were barking about it.
But you're still buying it.
Yep, still buying.
Absolutely. Why not? It's so delicious, right? So how should we celebrate this wonderful Bacon Day? Well, the National Day Calendar says the founders of Bacon Day encourage us to eat a variety of bacon while watching Kevin Bacon movies or movies with bacon in the title. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
It does, actually. Yeah.
They go on to say the other suggested traditions, such as bacon toasts and kissing under pork fat mistletoe, are mentioned as well. That doesn't sound as appealing.
No.
They also give their own suggestions, including trying a new recipe. So I'm actually going to do this for tomorrow. We're doing our own little New Year's Eve party with the boys at our house. So I found I've always enjoyed going other places and those bacon-wrapped smokies, those tiny little hot dogs or franks that you get. But
little smokies.
Yes, but I've never made them myself. So I found an easy recipe on allrecipes.com, which says all you need is a pound of sliced bacon cut into thirds, 1 14-ounce package of beef cocktail. They call them wieners. I don't like to say that word on the radio.
Except I just did.
So from now on, you're going to hear me say Franks. 3/4 cup brown sugar or to taste and toothpicks. So you're going to preheat your oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Line a large rimmed, that's important because the grease is going to be cooked out of this, rimmed baking sheet with parchment paper or aluminum foil. You're going to wrap each of the cocktail franks with a piece of the bacon that you've already cut into thirds. So you can be cutting that bacon into thirds while the oven is preheating.
Unless you want extra bacon.
That's true. It depends on the ratio of dog to bacon you want. So there
Frank
you go.
Frank to bacon.
So you're going to wrap each of those franks with a piece of bacon, secure it with the toothpick, paste and then place that bacon wrapped Frank on
How about the toothpick, not toothpaste.
Thank
toothpick.
You. Yep. That could be a very interesting different
it
flavor.
It would be a different flavor.
Yeah, yeah. So the toothpick is what you're going to put
I would have made that mistake.
through the bacon and the dog, and then you're going to place it on that prepared baking sheet. You're going to evenly sprinkle the brown sugar over the tops of the bacon wrapped Franks. Again, it's to taste. If you want it more sugary tasting, you use more. If you don't, you could also use maple syrup here. And then you would have your with a little bit of that brown sugar, and then you'd have your maple bacon, you know, sugar bacon, yum. Then you're going to bake it in the preheated oven until those that bacon is crisp and that sugar is bubbly, and that's going to take about 40 minutes. So then you serve this immediately or place it in a slow cooker on low to keep them warm.
Nice.
Very good.
That sounds delicious. I love those.
Sounds so delicious that even a Jewish man like myself during Hanukkah will be eating bacon probably.
Well, it is a fried thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
is the one yeah. thing that you do indulge in.
Yeah, just keep that on the down low, okay? Just keep that between us, everybody.
Okay. Sorry, Mom.
That's a good way to blend the cultures, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Cultures. Wonderful way to do that.
And I have to say, if I have to pick one Kevin Bacon movie to watch, it's going to be The River Wild from 1994.
Good choice.
I liked his, the 90s were kind of the top for me for Kevin Bacon movies.
Footloose is a classic. Mm-hmm. You got to watch that. But I would be more tempted this time of year to watch the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. He was really good in that.
Yeah.
He's done some really great work, but a lot of the work that I enjoy he's done is later in his career, and it's a lot of darker work.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think you're better off seeing the 80s Kevin Bacon.
80s, 90s, yeah. The Stir of Echoes was a little darker, but...
Oh, that was a really good one, Melissa.
That was
nice.
A good one.
Yeah.
That may be the one, actually, because it's kind of borders in between that, and he's really, really good in that one. Oh, a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also did the voiceover in Balto in 90.
Oh, that's right. He's good.
Well, and if you're looking for some other new recipes, you can go to delish.com and type in bacon recipes. There's one in there that sounds delicious that I might actually attempt sometime in the future, and you can make it in an air fryer, which is breakfast bombs. It includes scrambled eggs, crispy bacon, and cheese, and they are all stuffed into a biscuit that you make. So they look delicious.
That does sound good.
No wonder they call that site delish.com.
Yep. It's a good name. It's a good name.
Right?
Aptly named.
Well, I am inclined to agree with the old adage, bacon makes everything better. And one thing that would make this segment better is a sponsor. Yeah. Let us know if you're interested. We'll not only highlight you during the episodes that you sponsor, but we'll also spend one episode speaking with you and to highlight your business and to highlight you in an article for our newsletter in the Kitchens Open article.
Yeah, you will not find any other advertising opportunities like this one with the Kitchens Open, everybody. We encourage you to reach out to us if you're interested and just give us a call, 715-424-1300, and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the details.
And if you want to sign up for that newsletter that Beth mentioned, you can do so at our website, WFHR.com. It's right there on the homepage. And if you want to call to get a sponsorship, that number again is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Another great episode. I just want to take a moment to appreciate both Melissa and Beth and everybody else that has worked so hard on this segment, all the guests we've had on this segment throughout the year. It has been a very successful year for the Kitchens Open, and it's all because of you two. Thank you so much for the work you guys put into this segment.
Thank you, James.
All right. We will take a time out, but be listening next week for another episode of the Kitchens Open, everybody. We're looking forward to that. Beth, you have a great day and a great New Year's, okay?
You as well.
Thank you. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We got a good one for you right here. I'm going to light in some entertainment news for you. We do kick off in a couple of solemn places, though. Well, one in particular. The news just broke a little bit ago of the passing of Linda Lavin, a wonderful American actress, singer. Won a Tony Award. I can't remember exactly what she won her Tony for. Darn it.
I'll look it up.
She, of course, the star of Alice that many of us grew up on and watched as kids or as adults or what have you. A wonderful, wonderful actress with incredible comedic timing. Very, very good at what she did. I think many ways, like a lot of people, stars of her age and everything, underrated, underappreciated. Alice was a huge hit. And while there were some great actors on that show, it's not the show without her. It's not the hit it is without her. Just really one of those performers that I have no doubt worked her tail off throughout her career and to prep for her roles, but made it look effortless. Just made it look so smooth. I'm not saying easy or simple. I mean just smooth, like she belonged. That this is what she was meant to do.
Mm-hmm. It was in 87 she won the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Play for her role as Kate Jerome.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't think I did know
Broadway,
that.
The play was Broadway bound.
Yeah, I don't think actually I did know that. I knew she won a Tony. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember what it was for. Wonderful actor who will be very missed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about anybody else, but it's been a while since I watched any clips from Alice. I'm going to go back and watch some of the Kiss My Grits. There's some good ones from that show. Wicked has become one of the bigger hit movies of 2024. And not just in the box office numbers, but it is going to be as we get close to award season here, it is going to be up for a lot of awards.
No doubt.
Yeah. A lot of people are actually having the discussion right now of who should get lead actress nominations and who should get supporting actress nominations between Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting.
Because it's a pretty equal, as far as who is the lead, it's hard to say. But as far as the book is written, Cynthia's character is the lead in the book.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I would think that that Cynthia should get lead actor nominations and Ariana Grande should get supporting actress nominations.
And that's kind of how I feel about it.
And I feel like that might work out for Ariana Grande better because she could end up winning an Oscar. Like the way they're talking about her right now, and in the category, I hate that they do this. Almost every year of our lives, they mention the best supporting actress category is not that deep this year. Yes, it is. You just need to look. miss me with that. There is incredible female performances going on out there. You just don't look at them as hard. And I say this as a member who votes on these things. They need to do a better job of it. But Ariana Grande, they're not missing her performance. They haven't missed that one. And you could you might not be able to miss it at home either if you choose to. Universal Pictures, the studio behind the hit film, announced on Thursday that Wicked will be available to buy or rent on December 31st.
Really?
Boom.
That's crazy.
We're gonna ride that train right in there.
Wow. But
Universal is not missing a beat. They needed a hit and they got one.
Yeah.
The streaming release, and this is so wildly different than when we were kids. I think this is even bigger. This is an even bigger difference, Melissa, and call up and let me know if I'm wrong on this one, 715-424-1300, than what it is when we try to compare, tell kids what it was like to wait 3 minutes for your show to come back.
Commercial break, yeah.
I think it's bigger than, your show ending, and I don't think anything's bigger than if you missed it, you missed it. Like, that's
right.
It.
There's never a rerun.
Yeah. And you can't catch it later on streaming or YouTube or something like that. Like, there's nothing that compares to what that was like. Right. I know as somebody who was really way too crazy about, watching TV and everything when I was young, if I missed a show, it killed me. And I would look during the summer to see, hey, are they going to replay it? Are they going to replay it in the summer? Because I missed that episode. I was one of those weirdos. I was one of those kids. So the fact that it hasn't, Wicked is still in
In theaters, yeah.
And they want to make sure, hey, you looking for something to do on New Year's Eve? Boom, there you go.
And you don't have to leave your house to do it.
And not just that, but it's going to have, among the bonus content, is a 40-minute behind-the-scenes featurette. So they're not only going to have bonus footage and, I believe, deleted scenes, but they're going to have that as a part of it, too.
Oh, people are going to eat that up.
Man, that's something.
They're going to be all over it.
It's nearly... Now, here's something, though, I haven't heard anybody mention, and I don't know that this is important nowadays, or if it is or it isn't to people. That depends on, you out there. It's a nearly 3-hour epic.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's the first, the two-part cinematic adaptation. So this is the first part. The second part will come out later next year.
Yeah. No, this is only the first part. And it's, I'm glad they did it that way because the I saw this like the first weekend that it came out, and it didn't feel like a 2-hour and 40-minute movie. It really didn't. And it didn't feel like they drew things out too much or that they cut them down too much as far as the storyline goes. They really kind of gave it its due, and I think they did a really good job with that. The only thing that I felt was a little drawn out was the very last scene.
Huh.
But that was the end of the movie, so it should be that way. But being that it's not the end of the story...
Yeah.
In the moment, that's what I was thinking. But it's really well done. And Cynthia deserved her moment in that scene.
I really liked the casting of her in it. I especially think it, for those that are big fans of the Broadway show, when you know the two original actors of it, it's hard to compare to them. So go a different direction, I think, is a very smart idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hopeful as well that this gets a lot of people to look into Gregory Maguire's novel, because I think the book Wicked was really good.
It is. It is a really good book.
I read it as a recommendation, and it was a page turner for me. It pulled me in, and I don't get pulled into books like that very often, but I really felt for Elphaba. I really got pulled into that character.
Mm-hmm. And the story is great. And it's different than the movie or the Broadway show, so yeah, it's definitely worth reading. And actually, it drew me into some of his other work as well.
Yeah, yeah. The Son of a Witch is a great one, too. Now, I'm going to get into box office numbers in a second, but Melissa, you went and saw a movie recently, huh?
I did. I went and saw a movie, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I didn't like it.
Oh,
I actually really disliked it.
Oh, that's
in fact, it was bad.
It's kind of a twist. Ooh, what a twist in the review. Oh, I like it. I have to ask, is it a movie that's currently, yes, it's currently a movie in the theaters
because I went and saw it on Saturday.
Yeah.
But yeah, the songs were bad. So there, that gives you a hint.
And
it doesn't narrow it down too much because there's multiple movies in the theater with songs in them right now.
Nice. I like that.
It was a disappointment. I mean, there were parts of it that were cool, but I wouldn't say it was worth seeing on the big screen. Granted, we got like the last seats in the theater, so we were in the very front row, which is intense.
Yeah.
That is so intense.
Yeah.
Thank goodness the seats lean back now, because man.
Off air, if you trust me with that information, I will not share it to a soul. I will not share it to anybody. Looking at how your box office numbers did, the Disney's Mufasa, The Lion King, and Paramount Sonic the Hedgehog are duking it out over first place in North America box office. Based on estimates, Sonic 3 has ever so slight lead over it, but Mufasa is charging up the ranks. It does look like it will probably take over the very coveted Christmas Day weekend box office numbers and possibly New Year's Eve box office numbers and everything. And not too surprising, but it is a little bit when it started off this way, like Mufasa was way back. And it's one of the biggest things a movie can have is, yes, having a great opening weekend. How does it do in week two, week three? It's done very well.
And honestly, I was surprised at how many, like the theater was sold out almost. Which is why I ended up in the front row.
Right. That's pretty impressive. That alone is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And just to wrap up, everybody, I wanted to just let everyone know that the podcast that Bria and I do, What the Muppet, usually premieres every Monday at this around this time or in early in the morning. We had our last episode for now premiere, episode 72, A Muppety Hiatus. I just would like to not only thank this audience who has been very supportive of this, and I know a lot of the streaming numbers, a lot of the downloads is because of you out there. Thank you so much for that. And a gigantic thank you to my oldest, Bria Hoyt, and the incredible work that she put into this. Not just the podcast, editing it, and working with a very difficult actor, and getting him to stand on his ex all the time and everything. But she did so much social media-wise, and I learned so much from her social media wise and algorithms and different things from her. She put so much work into this that I don't even know if I have enough time in a half an hour left of this show to get into if I did. it was a real passion project for us. We really enjoyed it, and we're not looking to be done with it. We're just taking a break.
Breaks are okay.
Still haven't figured out why. Because I'm going to be a papa. And more importantly, Bria and Matt are going to be first time parents. But I'm going to be a papa.
And you're not going to spoil that child at all.
No,
not the tiniest bit. I don't imagine how you could do that.
Get to see her for Christmas, so I haven't been able to give her gifts. So Melissa is one of the few people that knows of one of the gifts I got, and I still can't share it yet.
Oh, I do. I do.
I've been good, Melissa, since what, June?
I'm impressed. Wow. Well done, James.
If you are looking for a fun thing and very similar to what we try to do on this show here, Serious Comedy, we had a lot of fun with this one. It's an easy listen. Go ahead and check out What the Muppet, everybody, wherever you get your podcast. And thank you so much to everybody who has.
And you know, James, the best part about you taking the show on hiatus, for people who have missed some episodes, now you can go back and catch up on those podcasts.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I encourage you to do that, everybody. And thank you again to everybody who has. I appreciate you. We'll get to our news break, Mel's news. We got some sports in there for you as well. And we're going to check in with our partners. And when we come back, we are getting into items that you don't really need to collect anymore, everybody. You can take a break. You can go ahead and pay some of them.
Okay, good.
It's coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. We got good stuff coming up for you. Let's go ahead and take a call first. Good morning. You're on the show. I'll try this again. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah. How's it going today, guys?
Good. How are you doing, Matt?
How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted to catch you guys before you got into more stuff on like the entertainment end of it. But we had a chance to watch the 6888 over the weekend on Netflix.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Okay.
If you get a chance, I mean, I don't know if you talked about that being released on Netflix or not, because I think it just recently came out.
It just did. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty intense. It pretty much showed, you know, how the black woman was perceived in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, it was good. Hit some pretty good, you know, some good actors in there too. And it was pretty impressive. That was one of my favorites. And then also, obviously, the one with Jason Bateman, the Carry On. That was pretty good too. So,
Kev, I appreciate not only the feedback and the recommendations, but the fact that you and my parents are watching hanging out together and watching the same. I cannot stress how serious I am here. My mom and dad very rarely recommend movies or come to me and talk about movies. I'm the one that does that with them. This weekend, both of those movies came up and they could not stop raving about them. In particular, my mom talking about Kerry Washington and the 6888.
Yes.
Just really love the performance. That's so wild that you call up and bring this up, man, because they could not stop talking about those movies. They enjoyed both of them.
Fun fact, what you didn't know, James, Kevin and your parents were texting the whole weekend.
I didn't know. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's wild. Those are really good movies. And for particular different reasons. Certainly the history and the noteworthiness of the 6888 is unparalleled. I think if you're looking for a good suspense movie, we don't make enough good suspense movies. There's plenty of horror and gore and all that. I like a good Alfred Hitchcock type of suspense movie. And you get an actor like Jason Bateman, who doesn't get an opportunity to do those roles very often, and man, does he take the ball and run with it. Like, he's so good in that role.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't see his face for about, all you hear is his voice.
Yeah.
Probably the first, 45 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, it's a great performance.
Good. Never guess them in a movie like that.
Good stuff, Kev. We only got one Playmakers for the rest of the year. We got one more so we're going to need you later today, okay?
I don't know if I really want to talk about.
Don't blame me. I don't blame you, bro. But we do appreciate you, and safe travels out there, okay?
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate you. You can catch both of those on Netflix. The 6888, Kerry Washington, Oprah Winfrey, Susan Sarandon, just some of the actors in that one. Both of them really good, really good movies.
Yeah.
You don't have to collect those movies, but maybe you do. Maybe you like DVDs. Maybe you are still a collector of DVDs or the old VHS tapes or something like that.
I have a collection of VHS tapes I'm still hanging on to. I can't find I have two VHS players and I don't know where they are and I'm mad about it.
I have both of those, a bin of both of those, along with a bin of CDs that I still have and I refuse to let go.
My CD collection, yes. I still have that too.
I refuse. I will not let go of them. And maybe there's some other things that you're collecting, quote unquote, that you don't need to anymore. There's a list making the rounds of collector's items that aren't really worth collecting. Now, when they say worth collecting, they're talking about people that collected things to hopefully sell later for money or
keep
something.
In its original packaging and mint condition. Because eventually it's going to be worth something someday.
They're also talking about the idea that these aren't, quote, worth anything as far as maybe you selling it. However, if you try to buy some of these items, you know, they'll probably be a little more expensive than you might think.
Outside of your price range.
And what comes up at the at the bottom of the list here right away.
You're starting at 10?
Yep. Old VHS tapes and DVDs. Yeah.
Okay, they might not be worth money, but they're worth sentimental value and the ability to watch things.
Yes.
Because I don't pay for any streaming services, so I appreciate my DVD collection. It's nice.
And I think that's really important to keep in mind with this. We're not saying any of this is worthless. We're just saying you're not going to be able to sell this and retire.
Yeah.
Porcelain dolls. They still aren't worth much, but they are just as terrifying. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
It's funny that you mentioned that, James, because over the weekend, actually, and a little bit on Christmas Day, I was able to finally unpack some more boxes in my apartment, and I pulled out my American Girl dolls and set them out to display because I have them from my childhood. And I'm like, well, why are these just sitting in a box? Let's put them out. I did not, however, pull out my porcelain doll.
Oh. That's funny you found them, though.
Yes.
Next on the list, Cabbage Patch Kids.
I never had one of those. I wanted one so bad I never got one.
If they're in mint condition in the box, they might be worth some money, but if they've been played with, they are probably not worth anything.
Because they're cloth body dolls, so those probably got dirty.
Now, there might have been collectors out there that bought them and kept them in the boxes or whatever, but if you bought one of those for your kid or something like that, like, there's just no way it stayed in the box.
If they survived without getting marker on their face somehow, it's amazing.
Yes.
That's great, but, Mom, I just wanted to give her freckles.
Yeah, just put makeup on her. Newer comic books. Now, vintage ones are a little bit different. You probably might be able to retire off of like the original Superman or some of those.
Some of those are really worth money, yeah.
But I would say, and I'm just reading on this one, but I would say late 90s, early aughts, those comics, they made a lot of them. Like there are a lot of copies of those ones out there.
Right. The trick is having something that's rare and in perfect condition.
Yeah. And that's similar with baseball cards. Now, the really old ones can be worth a lot, but they got mass-produced. And if you've held on to a bunch of random cards from the 80s, they may not be worth as much as you might think. My dad runs into this all the time. Now, because he's my dad and he doesn't do this for money, he's constantly blown away by, I can't believe this is worth this much. He's always impressed with how much they're worth. But I think for a lot of people out there that got into collecting, and a lot of people during the pandemic that got back into collecting, they may have been, you know, kind of shocked by some of this, that the mass production.
Especially if they were pinning their hopes on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I got to just real quick, I want to send a shout out to my brother, because my dad has talked about, he's got doubles of certain cards and talked about selling them. And my dad recently had a double of a Tim Duncan rookie card. And my brother put it on eBay. What they're selling it for, my mom and dad are probably going to be able to go on a vacation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they've never done this before. They've been talking about this for almost a decade. And they may actually now be able to do it because of this. So
that's awesome.
You know, there are some cases where, and that Tim Duncan, that's a relatively new one compared to, we're saying like early 90s. So they can still be. Yeah. But you have to be a little bit insane like my father and keep these cards in the most pristine shape and everything.
Yeah. Right. And that's the trick. Is it in pristine shape?
Yeah.
And is it rare?
Yes. Yeah. At number four on the list, Pogs.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, this was ahead of our time, I think, Melissa. I think this was more of a thing right before us.
Okay.
But it was they were milk caps.
It's a game?
Children's game.
Okay.
They don't tend to be worth much anymore.
Oh, yeah. I do remember these. I think we had this game, but I don't think we knew how to play it.
Yeah, I don't know that one. If anybody has any of these things out there, though, please let us know. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
At number three, Pez dispensers. Even the good ones yes. only sell for like a buck or two.
And I don't know about you, James, but I just finally learned that you can actually load them, the whole thing, all at once, as opposed to putting them in one at a time, which is how I always did it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was my sister that showed me that, I think. And it was
yeah, no, I learned that as an adult, and I want to go out and buy a Pez dispenser and some Pez to just try it.
I guarantee
prove to my childhood self that it can be done.
Yeah, I guarantee that I was in my at least in my 20s or 30s when I found out. Yeah, I 100% with you on this one. Now I have one of my best friends, Steve Heath. Shout out Stev. He collects these, and he's actually one of the people that I learned this through. But it was more so my dad. I don't disagree with this list, and we've got two more on it, but I will say that if you collect something, somebody else collects it, and there's somebody out there that will pay for that.
Has one. More than, yeah.
Or there's always somebody willing to pay for a collector's item. I think we learned this a lot through a lot of TV shows, American mm-hmm. Pickers and things like that. Like, there's always something.
Did you know that Pez is an abbreviation for a German word for peppermint?
No, I didn't.
I did not know that either. And they had some unusual candy flavors, such as licorice, flowers, and chlorophyll. Sorry, side tangent.
I'm just going to let that sit there. I don't have a punchline. That's just going at number two on the list, most vinyl records. The market is so saturated that they don't really hold value. They're a great listen, of course, but they're not as much for value anymore. Now, again, that's another one where you go to a record store and it's not like they're just handing them out. They're going to cost you a penny.
Right.
But I think if you're trying to resell some of them, if you're trying to resell Frampton Comes Alive, that's probably not going to get you much money. That's fine.
Well, and there's also a resurgence of popularity with vinyls, and they're coming back, and they're, you know, modern day artists are making them.
Yeah. And at number one on the list, I think we all can guess it. Go ahead and say it together. Beanie Babies.
Yep.
Nearly all of them are worth under 20 bucks now. You can find whole lots of them on eBay for less than that. But just for fun, I thought I'd throw in there, what's the most expensive Beanie Babies now?
Mm.
And Melissa, I see for $7,000 used on Etsy, the Thai Beanie Baby Gobbles.
Really?
There are some that are up to 12 grand. And I don't know, as my mother sold these at Book World and everything, so I know a little bit about them. At the time, it was the most rare one, and it still looks like it is. For over $50,000, you can buy the rare Thai Beanie Princess Di baby.
Yeah.
So that's, you still can. There are people still making money off of these things and everything. Yeah,
if you have some of those really, really expensive ones.
It was about a year ago, but back in January, Parade.com came out with the 41 most valuable Beanie Babies worth money. So that's a 2024 article. While I don't disagree, I'm not, you know, looking to take a nitpick at this list or anything. I do think that if you have this unique item you come across or something like that, I would be very careful with that item, whatever it is, because there might be somebody out there that was worth the pay for it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have something, like you said, and you think it might be worth something someday, hang on to it.
Yeah. And to anybody that collects anything out there, you enjoy it. You know,
I have my American Girl dolls displayed again for the first time since I was like, you know, what, 13?
Yeah.
When I moved out of the original house I lived in. So it's you could still enjoy them.
I think if you collect stuff, you do it because it's fun to you, and that's what matters.
And to be fair, I only have two. It's not like I have 50 of them. Mm.
Right on. My dad has literally thousands and thousands of cards of every sport, and one of his favorite things is going through them and you know, categorizing them and doing different things. He has books that he has for his grandkids that he's going to give to them, and books that he has for me and my brother and sister and stuff when he passes. It's one of his things, you know.
That's good, though, and having a plan for them is also great, but also cards take up less space than, say, Beanie Babies.
Oh, yeah, that's that too, yeah. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, get into our schedule and some other fun stuff. But thanks so much for kicking off your week with us, everybody.
Absolutely.
And thank you, Melissa, for sending over a great good story of the day the other day.
Okay.
And this takes me to my old stomping grounds. Actually, Garfield Park specifically, and Kamara Williams. Who has often enjoyed walks with her mom in Garfield Park. The 11-year-old discovered a new cancer-fighting molecule in an unexpected source, goose droppings.
Oh.
Yeah, this is quite fascinating.
I know I sent you the story, but I didn't read it, James.
it's a wonderful story. Encourage you and everybody else to look into, especially if you're looking for a good story of the day, and you want to be reminded that the youth is the future and that we're in good hands. Children in the Chicago Boys and Girls Club worked with the University of Chicago to collect goose droppings, raise cultures from said droppings, and the study of the results of the cultures. One of the results was a previously undiscovered bacteria that may have a protein compound, Omifed N, that could be the key in helping us with cancer treatment.
Wow. That's crazy.
Just got to let that sit there for a second. I mean, that's just incredible.
We're going to cure cancer with goose poop.
The only way to know is to find out. You know, great work.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great work by Miss Williams and, of course, the university and everybody else that worked on this one.
Absolutely. Wow. That's so cool.
That's amazing work, and that affects all of us. One of us.
Every single one of us have been touched by cancer at this point in human history.
It's just an incredible story. I make sure that we mention that one. And thank you again, Mel, for sending that over.
For sure. I see interesting things. I send them your way, even if I don't read them.
Always appreciate it. We appreciate our guests, of course. We're getting into our schedule a little bit. And, of course, we have an odd week this week. We'll touch on what you can expect New Year's Day and more tomorrow. We'll get into that when Seth, Melissa, and I hang out. We're looking forward to it. But we have a great Midday Magazine lined up. Well, actually, real quick, I mentioned Matt and Air on Air coming up. Jane and Greg are going to be having a great show for you. Be sure to join them from 10 to noon. And a little bit later today, Midday Magazine, we've got from 4 to 5 in part 1. We're going to have a best of from last Friday, a couple Fridays ago, when Ron Rasmussen and Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools were with us. We got to talk to the Interact Club.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I believe you did a story on this for our newsletter.
Yeah, I did an article on that one for the newsletter. It's a good Midday Magazine. It's definitely worth a listen.
And be sure to check out the newsletter. Everybody sign up at WFHR.com.
Mm-hmm.
And in part two today, we have Catherine Elkhart with us, director of Macmillan Library. And for those that have not heard, this is going to be Catherine's last show with us.
Oh, yes.
She is going to be departing our area. She has accepted a new position, and we're going to be sorry to see her go. So we're going to say goodbye to her, along with talking about some really cool things going on over at Macmillan Library.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And then after that, it's Playmakers, our last one of the year. Be sure to join us for this one. I want to know your favorite sports moments of the year, everybody. Get the ball rolling. I think the Olympics were my favorite moment, but want to know what yours is. Be sure to join us later today for that. Don't think I have a co-host today. Solo show, but I'm not alone. I got all of you. Join us, and a big thank you to Quality Puts Printing sponsoring that. We appreciate them. It's going to be a good one. And speaking of a Macmillan Library, I did want to mention that they've got a bunch of great things going on that Catherine and I are going to be talking about today. One of them I wanted to mention is this Thursday from 10 to 11, Adult Coloring Club.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. That is going to be a lot of fun. And you can find out more at MacmillanLibrary.com, MacmillanLibrary.com.
Mm-hmm. Sign up for their newsletter as well. It's awesome. Today, they are having a teen game day, Lego and Chill. You can just go build Legos from 5 to 7 today.
And that sounds great. Sounds like a great and a good team building exercise.
Yeah, and they have cocoa and snacks.
I think we got to do the axe throwing. I think that might be our next team building. That or after the past month we've had, maybe let's just all just have a cup of coffee together, maybe. That's
it was something. We haven't done anything since the Edge VR team building we had, and that was only with the on-air hosts.
I've been trying to cook up something. We'll talk.
All right.
And just a real quick note before we wrap up here, there's a lot of great volunteer opportunities out there in our community. Encourage you to call 211 with the United Way and find out more. But you could reach out to the ADRC of Central Wisconsin at adrc-cw.org. Learn more about Meals on Wheels, how you can package meals, maybe help out with the senior dining, or delivering them with Meals on Wheels.
Nice. Yeah. See how you can help out in our community.
It's one of the greater volunteer opportunities or greater moments you're going to have to do and spend your time. You will not be disappointed. Again, find out more by going to adrc-cw.org. Great show today, Mel.
You too, James.
Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.